to another episode of the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. I'm excited to actually share this episode, which was a conversation that I had with my friend and mentor, Ben Harris. Ben is the fear guy, literally, like that's his Instagram handle, is the fear guy, because he is an expert in fear. And my time working with him was invaluable, I have to say. He taught me a lot about developing a relationship with fear that I will keep with me and go with me through the rest of my life. So he and I had a conversation about fear in general, but specifically about the fear that comes with developing relationships with people who are culturally different than you. And I thought that this was a conversation, an important conversation to have and to share with my audience, because even though what I'm finding is that my audience is made up of a lot of Black women, and I'm a Black woman, Ben is a white man. And I think that there is a lot of benefit in having mentors and friends and relationships with people who are completely different than you, or who you think are completely different than you, who have a different vantage point on life than you, who have a different background than you. There's a quote, and I cannot remember for the life of me who said this quote, but it goes, "You can't think yourself out of a box created by your own thoughts." And what that means is sometimes in order to grow, you need to be exposed to the way other people think, not necessarily so that you can think the way that they think, but so that you can refine your own thoughts. And I think it's such a huge resource as somebody who is growth oriented, as people who want to work on ourselves and to level up, to develop relationships with people who are not the same as you. So I hope you enjoy this conversation that Ben and I had about fear of people who may seem culturally different than you. And what's interesting is oftentimes when you do that, you find out that we have a lot in common. And in a lot of ways, we have a lot of the same fears. We have a lot of the same insecurities. And that actually is pretty cool. It's pretty human. So enjoy this conversation with Ben Harris and myself, and I will catch you next time.
Yeah. Boom.
Hey.
We're up in the house, up in the heat.
Your hair looks longer than the last time I saw you.
It is longer. And we just went on like a hike to like this watering hole. And so it is longer, but I'm just trying to still figure it out. So I was just like looking at it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I am glad you are here today. I'm excited to get into this conversation. I think we have I think people would look at you and look at me and never think that we would know each other or have things in common or learn from each other. So I think this will be kind of an interesting topic to get into. First, can you tell us about what you do, what your work is as your expert?
For sure. So basically, in a nutshell, right, I show, teach, guide people, coach people how to overcome their fear, but it's from a different standpoint. It's, you know, with love, it's with gentle compassion. Doesn't mean that the lion or lioness doesn't come out every once in a while, but it's, you know, it's in the sense of like, it's not about fighting your fear, it's about loving it. So I'm sure we're going to talk about that today, but yep, that's my life, that's my calling, that's my business. It is what I love, it's who I am and all the things.
And that, like, before I actually met you and talked with you and worked with you, I could tell like that was your life thing. Like fear, you know fear. You know the things about fear that most people are like can't see and can't articulate. So let's talk about fear actually. Specifically, what would you say when people are kind of afraid of getting to know somebody who might be different than them? What do you think like the surface fear is? And then I'm sure you probably have some insights on like, what are they actually afraid of?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you just look like on the surface level, right, is like, we're afraid of anything that's different. So that's just like biologically you can look at this like, you know, like anything that is different is deemed as a threat, right? So anything that's unfamiliar, like even if you look at like, okay, my life right now, I have this job that I can rely on. It gives me this money. I really enjoy it. And even if there's an opportunity for more money, for more fulfillment, for more impact, for more joy, is that is different, right? That is unfamiliar. It's not where you're used to. And that's why your mind, your subconscious mind, is identifying that as a threat. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's something that's going to benefit you, where it could open your heart and give you a cool experience, you're going to naturally, like biologically, you steer away from what's unfamiliar. So that's all it is, right? Is like we are like resistant to things that are different because it's deemed as like a threat. But I think like even beneath, you know, deeper beneath that, I think we're really just like afraid of ourselves, right? I mean, we can go pretty deep into this, mm-hmm. of like spiritually, religiously, whatever you want to say, of like the separation, because that's really of just like, that's really what's happening, right? Is the separation of human, whether you want to say culturally, you know, ethnically, beliefs, skin tone, color, whatever it is, right? Is like, but we're really like the same people, the same.
Can you clarify what you mean by that? Are you saying like we're afraid that we're so different that we don't realize that we have a lot of things that are the same?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's one of the reasons, but I would say it's like we're like afraid of ourselves, and I think it will bring us back into ourselves, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
I think I get what you mean. What do you think the thoughts are that people are having, though? Because I feel like even that takes a little bit of consciousness to be like, oh, I'm afraid of facing myself in another person. Yeah. And you're not there. What's the thing, like, I'll give an example for myself. Working with you, mm-hmm. I think as a Black woman, Black people, period, we're like bilingual and we don't even know it. We have the way that we speak when we're at work and the way that we speak out in the world. And then we have the way that we speak with our family and our friends. And something that I was thinking of is, am I going to be able to speak as myself and still be understood? Mm. So what are some of the like thoughts that people might have without even realizing that those thoughts are actually fear-based?
So I think the biggest, I'll give an example too of like, I was working with someone on a call one time, and she was a Black woman. And I'll be honest, and we've talked about this, right? Where I remember when we started working together, because, and I was like, it wasn't that I had a fear, right? But I had like curiosity, mm-hmm. of what, like, okay, let's see like how we could relate. And it's like, whenever I feel that, like I get curious, mm-hmm. right? It's like, am I going to be able to connect? Like, even though I've worked with people from all over the world, most of them are lighter skinned, you know what I mean? Like, whether it's Australia or, you know, even Latin America, you know, just, or Europe, it's just different. And so like, but when I was working with this woman, I could tell I was meeting an edge. And I remember, because I could tell she wanted to talk about color, mm-hmm. but she was nervous. And it was like, she wasn't the only Black person on the call, mostly white people, and it was like 100 people, mm-hmm. and I could tell, like, I just, you know, kind of nudged her and like asked her to lean into it. And like the root of her fear, right, of like why she wasn't really leaning into the thing that she's been wanting to do. And this woman has like an amazing background of like teaching and leading people, mm-hmm. and been a teacher her whole life. I think she's like in her 60s now. But she wants to lean into something more, I guess we can just say expansive, to more corporations or to more schools. I think that's what it was. She wanted to go like to more universities instead of just her one university that she taught at.
Yeah.
And what we got down to, right, like after the color, was the fear of not belonging. Mm. And what, I mean, that's, or you could say fear of being misunderstood, you know, or abandoned. And it's like, of course, there's like personal cultural differences locked into all of that stuff. But that was a really cool experience for me, because I just learned like, oh, like the root of it is the same.
Yeah.
Right. Of like this person, even though very different for me, is like, I completely relate. And like, you know, the many people that I've worked with who talk have the same thing of like, I just want to belong. And like, that's why you mentioned, right, like the different personalities or the different languages that we use, because it's like, I need to be this in certain circumstances with certain people, right? Because you're trying to belong. And so it's like, what you've, you know, worked on a lot too, is like just the people pleasing aspect. Mm-hmm. Just because you're trying to fit in and not be rejected or abandoned or betrayed or any of that stuff. So I know that was kind of not the exact question, but I feel like that's the ultimate like feeling of like just wanting to belong. And that's why we like gather around like people, mm-hmm. because subconsciously it feels like we already belong without having to do anything.
I think that that's kind of the cool thing about fear, is it's a great equalizer. Like, there may be things that are so different about me and so different about you, but we could share these very human fears that show up in different ways. Like the you know, afraid of not belonging or feeling like you're going to be abandoned. That is cross-cultural, cross-gender. And yeah, that's just a human thing that we share. So, this is a little bit of a dovetail, but I was just thinking about one of the things that we had in common was loving to perform, yeah, and music, which I also think is another great equalizer, because, you know, you shared your background with hip hop with me, and I'm a Black girl that likes metal, which is, you know, not extremely common, but there are these things that we can find sometimes that might be, we might have common ground that we never even necessarily know about.
Yeah, I mean, which is really cool, right? And it's just like, yeah, because it's like the two probably stereotypes, right? We're kind of like flipped in a way.
Yes.
but which is so cool though, that, you know, that it could be like, you can relate to that. And that's, I mean, yeah, like I love, it's funny, like, even just like a small thing today, like we went to like this little, you know, state park today. Mm-hmm. There was this other family. There's only one other family like at this swimming hole thing. And from the outside, I don't know what I was judging or thinking, but then we got to talking, and then eventually found out like they're actually entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. and helps people like with their e-commerce business. So it's not exactly the same, right? But as me, but what I even learned, I'm just like, oh wow, like I thought they were different, like I'm not gonna lie, like they were, you know, white people from Texas, mm-hmm. but it was still just like my judgment was completely different than what it actually was. And if I wasn't open to find out, then I would have never made that connection. And then we exchanged numbers, and they've just moved here, and they've been looking for like entrepreneurial, like conscious people to connect with. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the thing, right, is like, because we believe we're separate, or because we believe we're different, that's that fear keeping us that way. And so it's like, but until you are willing to like connect and lean into that and open and even be wrong and get uncomfortable, is like, that's to me love anyway, in any sense, right? Of like, even if you're just in your own relationship day to day with your partner, significant other, friends, family members, whatever it is, it's like, yeah, you're going to have differences. And it's like, it's so easy to like put the wedge in and be like, no, I'm different than you, instead of like leaning in and understanding each other.
With that situation today, what were your, like, what was the transition of your thoughts like, from like, oh, they're different, to, oh, let me be open to this experience? Like, how did you think yourself through that?
That's a good question. I think me naturally, I'm just chill and open. so, you know, it just kind of naturally comes. And usually I'm the question asker, but they're asking questions, mm-hmm. which was usually different. And that's actually one thing I've just been like open to, instead of me having to lead all the conversations, just like let other people be interested, mm-hmm. too.
That's a good point.
And so like for me, like I definitely lean into, you know, being the person who wants to learn and ask questions and generate the conversation. And so like how we started, you know, talking was just like our kids playing together. So that was like how we first started talking. And then it's like, where are you from? Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. What do you do? How'd you guys meet? And then it's like, oh, like then you find this like similarities. And then it's almost like you get permission to ask bigger things. Because it's like, I would love just to be like, yo, like, tell me your, you know, what are your deepest dreams?
I love those conversations. Like, hey, how are you? So what are you passionate about? What are you afraid of? What's in your shadow?
Yeah.
But that's only for certain kind of people.
And it's like, when I told him, you know, what I do.
Yeah.
Helping people overcome fear. And I could tell that he didn't shut down, or he didn't, like, he actually understood it. So mm-hmm. that's how I knew, like, oh, okay, like, we can take this somewhere deeper.
How can
and it does
tell?
Just because I am a reader of energy, right? But, like, for other people who might not know that, it's just, like, I guess typical reactions, especially for men, is, like, I'm not afraid of anything, you know? Or, like, they're judging that or wondering, how do you make money off of that? Instead of just being, like, oh, yeah, like, I totally get that. Or that's really cool. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. And so just genuine curiosity and interest in it, instead of just like, again, right, like keeping it at bay of like, because for him, he's had experiences, I'm guessing and assuming, but just based on the interaction, like he's had experiences with that, building his business and providing for a family, you know, and like, and having these different experiences and traveling and moving around, that allowed him to be more vulnerable. And I think that's, you know, the key of it is, you know, the courage to be vulnerable.
I definitely agree with that. Can we riff on curiosity for a second? Because mm-hmm. you said that word twice. And as I was thinking about this conversation, I was like, what is it that makes a person open, like, to put themselves in an uncomfortable situation, or maybe get to know somebody that they're like, I don't know if they're going to understand me, or if they're going to like me, or if they're going to reject me. And my thought was that one of the ingredients, at least, is curiosity. Mm. But what I'm wondering is, if you're not a naturally curious person, how do you cultivate that curiosity? Mm. Do you have thoughts on that?
I mean, I would say if anyone's here, you're already curious. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think that's just the truth. Like, if you're already a seeker of this knowledge or of personal growth, it's like you already are curious, right? It's just, and even just, it could be the slightest curiosity of just like, ooh, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Or tell me more. Or like, what do you actually like mean by that? You know, like, so I feel like, and then like, if you want to be, yeah, I feel like if you're not already curious, I or you can't force anyone to be, you know, curious. But if you want to get more curious and like lean into it, I think it's just, you know, asking questions. I always think that's the best way to do it. Like asking open-ended questions, like mm-hmm. to yourself and to other people. And fortunately, you know, that's one thing I've always been good at, is asking questions, and that's how I'm designed. But if you're not good at asking questions, just like ask something beyond just like, how are you? You know what I mean? Like what you said, just like, tell me like about you, like, tell me like, what are you, even just like, what are you learning right now? Like what you said, what are you passionate about? Or what was the biggest challenge in the past year? Cause what I found too, is like some people are resistant to talking about current struggles, mm-hmm. but they love talking about, you know, past stories.
That's so, if you, that makes sense.
You know, like talking about like something, a resiliency story, or something that is like, you know, like we all love talking about ourselves,
especially when we can say we overcame
something.
It is harder to talk about something that you're in the middle of. Yes, that was my thought too, is that an ingredient in curiosity is that thirst for knowledge and like always seeking the answer. But I also think the other part of that is not being so attached to what you think you know already, because if you're so certain of what you know, what are you looking for other answers for? So I think a part of being curious is like being okay with being wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and you know, I'm not sure if you remember this, but in my Fear Alchemy course, that's one of the lines that I talk about is like, you have to have the courage to be wrong, mm-hmm. which is seems so backwards, but it's like, that's literally what you're doing, right? Like in my work is like, you're proving the beliefs incorrect that you have for years. But it's like, you have to be willing to like, mm-hmm. and that's across the board and like, and everything, right? Like this transcends like what we're just talking about. But I mean, it is cool to think about because it's just like, I mean, I'm grateful that I've been wrong about a lot of things, you know, because it's like, I've just seen like life has worked out so much better and more beautifully and more just like, I've had so many more experiences just because I've like been open to like actually being wrong. I think, I'm not sure if you want to take this conversation down this way, but like, even for me, I'm the kind of person who like, you know, as a like people pleaser at like my core or my past, mm-hmm. sometimes I think that can go into like the other direction, you know, of just like,
what do you mean?
So I guess like not having your own opinion, right? Mm-hmm. Or not your own stance or values or beliefs. Because I remember one thing that you and I talked about, right? Is when you have vague goals or vague desires, is, you know, that's revealing like you actually just have a fear of failure or a fear of success. Mm-hmm. So it's like, again, right? Is like you're just letting the outside noise control you. But I think usually it's kind of like both. People think this is such an ego thing and like a right or wrong thing and a black or white thing. And this is another reason like why it's, I feel like even just like the cultural differences, right? Is because it's like, well, one has to be right. Mm-hmm. One has to be wrong, which isn't true at all. But that's just how our mind works. Our mind is like binary. Yeah. And so it has to either be this or it has to be that. And it's like, well, no, like how can both coexist at the same time? And so like why I mentioned that is just like, because it can be like, I know what I want and I'm clear on that, but at the same time, I'm open. I don't even know how to like really explain that, but it's like a feeling that I just know of like, I'm clear of like who I am, mm-hmm. and like what I do want. And at the same time is I feel like that actually makes me more open to life.
Yeah, I think that completely makes sense because you're not so tied on, okay, I'm clear on what I want, but it doesn't have to happen A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Mm. It could be 1, 2, 3, 4. It could be 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, I don't know exactly how I'm going to get there. I know where I want to go. And that does open you up to things that you may not have expected, people that you may not have expected to meet, relationships that you may not have expected to have. I think that that's I think of it as surrender, yep. as like, I am, my focus is what makes me feel aligned, but I'm open to however the direction goes. And I also think it's just the truth because we might like have in our mind, I want to get to this destination this way. And life, like, don't be lifing like that sometimes. No, I don't think surrender is really an option. We just tell ourselves that it is.
True. Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because I feel like, because I remember you told me, like, you consciously made the choice to work with me because I was different than you. And a lot of people don't, and we found out, right, we do have a lot of similarities, but a lot of people don't make that conscious choice, right? It's like they want someone to actually, and I understand this point too of like actually getting someone who knows where they've been.
Yeah.
I get that. And that's like, it's such a mix, but I'd love to know like, why did you choose me or someone who's just like so seemingly so different from the outside?
Okay. Yes. I love that you asked this. So I remember when I first found your content on Instagram, I was on a cruise and I was scrolling and, what you were posting about was like, I felt punched in the face. Like, how does this man know my life? And I don't remember exactly what the post was, but it just, it exposed me to myself in a way that I needed. And I, even though I knew that you were different, I was like, there's something that he understands that I need to understand. And I, my gut was like, you need to work with him. My gut was like, I needed to work with you. I didn't choose to do it then. It actually was a couple of months later, but some of my thought process was you being someone who's seemingly different, someone who maybe is where I want to be or has maybe had the journey that I'm on and you're, you know, a few steps ahead, that could be good for me. Because I was in a place in my life where everything needed to change anyway. So it's time to start doing something different. And I knew that for me, I'm very good at lying to myself. And I can intellectualize anything and make it sound good. And so I needed someone who was going to be able to like call me on my BS and be like, nope, you're procrastinating. Nope. This is what you're actually doing. This is what you're actually afraid of. And I think part of my gut feeling was that what you were saying was so, it made me so uncomfortable that I knew it was true. Mm-hmm. And so it, my conscious choice was go with the discomfort. You've been comfortable for a long time. You want to keep being comfortable? You want to keep living how you're living? Then do that. Or are you ready to shake things up? So, I was ready for the discomfort at that time. And you had this combination of like, I can push you, but I'm pushing you because I care. I didn't want somebody who was going to be like yelling and screaming and like micromanagement. That doesn't work for you, girl. So this combination of like loving direction and also I'm going to call you on it if I need to.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, you perfectly described it, which I love hearing that from your experience. And I feel like I could keep asking you questions, but I want to make sure.
Please do. No, I love
it. Well, because it's, shoot, what I was going to ask, because it's like, I lost my train of thought. I'll ask it if it comes back.
Okay. So that makes me want to ask you, did you have any fears around working with me?
It's hard to remember. I think like kind of what I said at the beginning, right? Of like, I don't know if it was, I guess what I'm going to use my own lingo against me, right? Because it's like, because people might say, well, I might not have any fear, but it's like, even if you're questioning or doubting or even sometimes wondering deep down, right? That like is a fear. So honestly, what I could probably say, right, is like to me, I wondered, right, of like, am I going to be able to connect with you to like get where we need to be? Mm-hmm. And at the root of that, right, is just like probably like, you know, my fear of like doing a good job and like, am I actually going to be able to like get results for you? Like that type of thing is probably like what that root was tied to at the surface. Mm-hmm. So, and even for me, right, I feel like even to be, it's still, even that aspect is like still wanting to be accepted, you know, because it's like, ooh, like, I hope you're able to understand me so that we can have that connection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately, I've had experience, so I know, you know, that is fear. And the best way to, like, you can't fight fear with more fear, but just to be more open and loving and vulnerable and, you know, just like be like a real human. Like, at the same time, yes, like, I know I'm holding the identity as, you know, coach, leader, guide, but at the same time, still be like a real human. And I always feel like that really helps too, instead of like pretending I'm different or better than or whatever.
I resonate with that. And even as, you know, me as a coach, that's the approach that I like to take, is like, don't sit here and think I got it all figured out and I got all the answers and everything is peachy keen. Like, I'm a human. And yes, I have experience with some things and knowledge and training and some things. And but it's still always a process of like ever learning and ever growing. And I think the vulnerability, I try to be vulnerable and transparent about the lessons that I'm learning, even as, you know, I'm positioning myself as an authority, because we're all humans. Like, who are you kidding? I think it's just a lie to act like you're picture perfect all the time. And it's much more endearing to just be real about and be vulnerable, like you said.
Yeah, Brittany, will you talk about, because I feel like even like what we're talking about, it somewhat relates to this, like authority, because I feel like it's like the hierarchy, you know, of like I've worked with people who have like fear of actually owning their authority because they have a poor relationship with past authority, like kind of suppressing them, but they don't want to be the persecutor. And so instead they play the victim because that's more acceptable, you know, or, yeah. Or so that's such like a play. But I remember you and I really working on like your authority and power.
Yes.
And I know this is deeply connected to like even part of this conversation. So I'd love to hear just like, how do you think this has like helped you in this topic and just beyond that too?
As far as like owning my authority?
Yeah, like.
Tremendously. First of all, I don't think that I even began to recognize that I could be an authority. That was like the first piece of like, you're not allowed to do that. I had to break over that piece. And then once I broke the you're not allowed to do that piece, then I was like, okay, well, what do I have to say? Mm-hmm. And figuring out what I have to say and then having the courage to say it. And it's funny, it's been this kind of like full circle coming back to myself, which is, I don't need all the fancy equipment. I don't need to do as much as I think that I need to do. This is what I do. This is my profession. This is like, I have experience. I have the education, but it's me. It really is just this coming back to like, you're good enough. And you're going to get better over time, of course, but you're good enough now. And I had to break. I think there's one other thing that I'm missing. There's like this other part, this like, who does she think she is?
Yeah.
Thing that I had, I don't know at what part of the process that I started to chip away at that. And it's still a little bit in my head, the who does she think she is? But now we fight. If she thinks she is voice in my head, I'm like, sit down. I know who I am. Okay. I know that those are other people's voices in my head. So I don't listen to them. But it's still this sense of like, how dare you think that you can call yourself a coach? How dare you think that you can share your opinions and speak with authority on things? Like, nobody gave you permission to do that. And I was kind of just recognizing that nobody gives anybody permission to do anything. Like, who, what are these voices in my head? Whose voices are these? And do I want to keep listening to them? Mm. So, I guess in short, my process, you know, in working with you and then continuing to work on this myself as questioning when those doubts come up, like, where do they come from? And I think I have now established enough proof for myself so I can be like, yeah, y'all are wrong. You're wrong.
Well, and it's even cool. I mean, even just to let people know, right, of like how far you've come, even just showing up like on a live video like this, like, mm-hmm. you never would have done this.
Never. I remember you, like, you would tell me, like, just make a video and just put it on. I'd be like, hell no, Ben, I'm not doing that. No, I need lights. I need camera. I need sound. It's funny. Now I've gotten a lot more comfortable. Just like, I'll get a thought in my head. I'm like, I'm going to make a video. Mm-hmm. Last year, nope. I would not have done that. You told me to do that so many times. And I was like, hell no. I won't do it.
That's fun. And it's like, I feel like there's another topic of this, because I love all the, like the subtleties and subtopics, but like even if you're talking, if you're comfortable talking about like relationships, because you and I even touched on that too, right? Of like in like I can't remember exactly what this was, but just like generally speaking, right, is like we tend to make, all men bad, right? Or we tend to make all people of a certain gender or a color or a background or rich people or greedy, I just like we other people. And so I'm curious, like, because this relates to like what we're talking about, just in a slightly
It
different,
does.
but do you mind talking about like your experience with that? And like, because really what that was, right, is a lack of trust in yourself. And when you're able to trust yourself, is like then you can open to that world of love or differences or whatever you want to
Okay, let me get into
call
that. This is
Clear it up.
juicy. To your question earlier on, like, why did I choose to work with you? Besides the fact that you're obviously white and I'm obviously black, I'm obviously a woman and you're obviously a man. And that scared me. And that is because, in the dynamics that I've had with most men in my life, they didn't care about my feelings. They didn't care about what I thought. They didn't care about what I had to say. And so there was something that I knew that I needed to conquer if I ever wanted to get past that. And I thought this would be a safe container for me to unlearn that belief that all men are bad, that men don't care about your feelings, and that men don't care what you think. So that was something that went into my thought process as well. What was your other question?
I guess just like, I mean, I feel like you're on the topic of that, right? Of like how it like even applies to, oh, I think it to me it was like trusting yourself, because it's like, because we're othering, it doesn't matter what context it is, right? It's like men are the problem, which of course it doesn't mean that as like, yes, I've had some hurtful and unhelpful experiences, but it still comes back to me instead of like putting the problem on someone else.
Let me do two part with that. So part of what was helpful for me was like having the safe space in the container to be heard and to unlearn that within actual human. But then I think post, like once our time was done, I noticed that it was easier for me to feel less fear in the situations and to push myself to do it because I now have experience and I know that I can, and I know that I'm going to be okay whatever the result is. So I do think that the part where you talk about trusting yourself, for me, that is knowing I'm going to be okay regardless of who says what. And that actually for me carries across cultures, cross genders. It's this feeling of like, I can speak my truth and people cannot like it. And I can speak my truth. And if it's true for me, that's actually enough.
And then that's how people are going to relate to it more anyway, is what people don't realize.
That is so true. Yes. There is something very attractive and connecting about just holding on to what's really true for you, because if it's like your real, real truth, it's probably a lot of other people's truth too.
Yep, exactly. And that's like that vulnerability and that courage that we've talked about,
Yeah.
which creates connection.
It does create a connection.
Back to the whole thing of, the theme and like what we started with is like, how do you bridge that gap, right? Is like you open, like you be vulnerable, but in order to get there, you have to trust yourself and be safe with yourself. And it's like most of people, I would say, don't trust themselves, are not safe with themselves,
They don't.
have re regulated nervous systems, are in survival mode. So of course, it's like I'm not going to open up to someone who's different than me. Because I have no relationship with fear. I have no relationship with just discomfort, right? It's like, why would I open myself to something that is programmed into me as a threat? So it makes sense that why it happens that way.
Can you speak to how to develop develop a relationship with discomfort, or maybe like what does the process look like of beginning to trust oneself?
I love that. So I've always, like, my whole life, like, I have been like an open, curious person always. But when I was 19 is when it like snapped into hyperdrive, because that's when I really started pursuing music more. And why that happened is because I read a book, and the premise of, and the book is, it was actually about 50 Cent's life. It was kind of like co-written about his life. And at that, like, I've read it back now and I'm like, oh, this is so just like basic and like, but like back then it was like life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Premise of the whole book, right, is like why 50 Cent has been successful is because of his fearlessness.
Mm.
And so literally like what I took from that book, kind of like it put words to what I knew in my soul and my body. And so it just like connected. And I was like, oh, like this is the thing I've been looking for. And so when I was 19, I started doing everything I was afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And that built that relationship. Like, so if you have no relationship with discomfort or with fear or getting out of your comfort zone or doing the things that you want to do, like going big, like quitting your job, starting a business, like living your dream, sharing your gifts, whatever it is like, you know, I was practicing for, you know, 8-9 years before that guy, I built this muscle. And it started with, you know, going downtown to freestyle rap for people. And I was terrified. Like, I was seriously so nervous. And I was just like, because this, I had the similar thoughts, like, who am I to be, you know, but it was just so fun. I just loved it. And that, you know, because I loved it, that helped me get through the fear of it. And I think that's just another key thing too, is like find something that you love so much that you can love all of the ups and downs and the challenges with, yeah, for. And so like, yeah, if someone's just getting started with that, like literally it could be like, if I'm not, you guys may have heard of something called like rejection therapy. It's similar, right? It's like where you set yourself up. It's like exposure therapy, right? Of putting yourself intentionally in circumstances to possibly and probably be rejected.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you know, it could be asking someone on a date that you have like no clue or in your mind, right? Like they're so out of my league, but you're going to go do it anyway.
Right.
Or asking for a promotion or applying for a new job, or even just like you're getting a coffee and you just ask like, hey, can I get a dollar discount? And they're like, why? Because that I'm just asking if that's possible, you know? And like, so like, there's so many things that you could do just to like expand, you know, your capacity,
yeah,
to hold that discomfort. And that's all that you're doing. That's even the whole point of like cold showers and cold plunges or whatever it is, right? It's like, yeah, this stuff is trendy, but like when you get down to like the core of it, it's actually just expanding and redefining your relationship, like with the things that scare you. And that's how you build trust. That's how you build confidence. That's why it's like I look at things that I've been able to do. I was actually telling Belle, my partner, about this yesterday. I was like, I was looking back at my life. I'm like, yo, I've done some crazy ass things. And like the reason I've been able to do that is one, because I trust, right? I have faith. But I have the relationship with myself, like you said, of like, no matter what happens, I've got me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, like, once then, you know, committed relationship and then partnership, you know, fatherhood, family, that was a whole nother level, because I was like, oh, it's no longer just me, you know, that like I'm responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
So that opened up a whole other thing, a whole other edge that I'm so grateful for, because I know that I could not be the most expanded, and realize my full potential without, you know, becoming a husband and father. Mm-hmm. So it's like all these things, right, is like, even when I'm talking about it right now, like I really get excited. Like I can feel like in my energy, like in my solar plexus, in my heart, I'm like, yo, let's go. like where's the next thing? Because I know, like, I've just, it doesn't, like, I definitely still feel fear. I definitely feel the edge a lot, but that, that's the whole point, right? Is like, it's to build the relationship with it. And instead of running from fear, instead of hiding from it, running at all costs, it's like, that's why I call it like friending your fear. Because once you learn how to do that, it's no longer so scary. It's not this thing that's like, oh, I'm going to die, or, oh, you know, I'm going to lose everything. It's like, oh, like, this is actually the thing that, you know, is protecting me, because one time I spoke my truth and then I got rejected and I felt embarrassed and shamed and all the things. So now I have this protection over my real self, my real truth. Mm-hmm. So this isn't the bad guy. It's actually the good guy, right? Because it's doing something to protect you from pain and from rejection. And so it's like, oh, like, this is just love in disguise. This is the thing just protecting me because it loves me. It cares about me. And when you realize it's something to not run away from, because most people run away from this thing, right? Yeah. They avoid it because it's so scary. But what you're subconsciously doing and unknowingly doing is you're running away from the exact thing that you want. Like, the answer is in here, but in order to get this gem, right, of like, you have to go through like the scary thing. You have to pierce through the illusion. Right. You have to go and avoid into the unknown in order to get there. And you do have to die some of the time, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where that liberation comes.
I love when you were talking about rejection, and I have this, like, I like to take things that don't sound like skills sometimes and define them as skills, because I think if you were to make rejection something that you practice and treat it, yes, like, I'm trying to get good, like you were go to the gym and I'm trying to get good at squats, yep, and I want my form to be good. Like, I think practicing getting rejected and getting really good at navigating the after, training your mind that there's possibility, being okay with not, you know, getting whatever it is that you, being told no, being open to being told yes and being surprised. I think that that's like a fantastic muscle to build. And tell me if this is true for you or not, but I do feel like when you start to do that, like you said, not that the fear goes away, but it almost like turns into excitement when you become afraid of something. It's like, oh, you get that excited. Oh, this is a challenge. Oh, I must really want this. Oh, I must really care about this. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, it's kind of like Brittany, what is one of your favorite games? I mean, I know you love dance, but what other like games or activities do you love?
Games? I'm a simmer, so I'm gonna say
this. Hey, I love that. Or we could just use dance. Let's use dance for an example.
Okay.
Because it's like I'm guessing dance has probably been one of the most challenging things of your life, right? Like
physically. Yes, especially where I am now, I definitely am challenging myself more physically than I ever have.
Which, for sure, also at the same time, right? I remember even us talking about like fully putting yourself out there, right? So emotionally and mentally too, of like there's resistance like within that, but it's also so fun, yeah, because you love it.
Yeah.
So that's how I treat it, right? As it's like a teenager learning how to skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, so frustrating, and like you cuss and like break your skateboard sometimes.
Yeah,
but think of it like when you learn how, like, I'm not a skater, but like I imagine when you first learn how to like land a kickflip or something like that. Mm-hmm. it's like, whoa, like it's that feeling, because it's like, it's not like the outcome matters so much, but mm-hmm, you're just playing around with it, but at the same time it's still like there's that edge that you're working for, and like you fall down, you scrape your knee, but it's something that you love and you enjoy. So that's how it feels like for me. Like, it did used to be, mm-hmm, like there are still some things that are like exciting and like exhilarating.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say like what it started to be for me now more is like joyful and playful and fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's added another layer of healing for me. Well, I'm just like, oh, like I get to have fun, and like I get to do like what feels good for me, instead of just like, all right, I'm gonna do the thing that's scary because, yeah, like I'm a warrior, you know, like, yes, and it's like that has its time and place too. That has its, I said, yeah, that has its time and place, but it's like the next evolution of me is just like, it's been really cool. Just like, yo, like, what do I want to do? I'm like, like truly like what is fun and like what is going to light me up, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be challenging or I'm not going to meet resistance, but choosing to like I'm going to enjoy the process of it. And that's what it feels like for me now.
I concur. I love, like, I used to think years ahead and I needed to have a plan and I needed to know exactly what I was going to do and what was next. And I feel like me last year was let's build, break everything down and build everything anew. But what I was getting to was like the place of being able to trust the process and like go toward what feels right and kind of let go of knowing exactly what the outcome was going to be. And like when you were asking me about dance, although I love to dance and I like to entertain and I like to perform, for me it's more of like a practice of discipline.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many toenails I've broken in dance. Or, you know, I come with bruises and I'm sore, but it's that process of like, oh, I couldn't do this trick 2 weeks ago and now I can. And I think that like developing that relationship with my body shows up in other areas of my life too, where it's like, okay, it's the self-trust like we were talking about. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, if I can do a shoulder roll and land it and not break my neck, then maybe I can get on live with Ben and have a conversation in front of strangers. Mm. So I think there's a lot of ways to go around like building self-trust and practicing rejection and navigating your fear. One last thing I want to talk about, because we said it a little bit, but nervous system. Like, can you talk about how fear affects your nervous system? Because I think that's such a key part of like being able to truly deal with it.
For sure. I mean, so if you look just like, yeah, like biologically, right, is fight or flight, your nervous system, like whenever you feel like, whenever you feel panic, whenever you feel stress, whenever you feel anxiety, whenever you feel worried, whenever you feel overthinking, overwhelmed, that's just your nervous system getting activated because it feels like a threat is coming, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of people don't think that these are just, you know, symptoms of fear, but they are, because if you look at what fear is, at the root of it, fear is just your body's survival response. So anytime yep. your nervous system is activated, you're in fear, right? And it might not be like terror of like, there's a tiger in front of me, but even if it's like worry or anxiety, all that is just like chronic fear, mm-hmm. but just like in the background humming, always happening. So just like, and what's so tricky about this too, is a lot of people don't even realize that their nervous system is activated because it's become so normal to them.
Yep. They're all like, activated.
Yeah. Like if you're always activated, then it's normal. If you're always stressed, if you're always in chaos, if you're always overwhelmed and overworked and overgiving and depleted, then again, that's your normal. And so if you try and step out of that, your nervous system is like, wait, this is different. This is unfamiliar. So you're going to snap mm-hmm. back to mm-hmm. that chaotic life, even if it's, you know, burning you out and just making you miserable, you're gonna, you know, default to what's familiar for you. And so that's the importance of, you know, just this work. And it's like, if you're someone who just feels so overwhelmed and like, I'm at capacity, I can't do anything, I can't learn anything, yeah, just like coming into peace of just like learning how to breathe mm-hmm. and doing something enjoyable and getting out of survival mode and just like just being able to like pause and not having to like try and go do something and just be like, oh, like I'm safe. Mm-hmm. That's how you know like your nervous system is beginning to like regulate, and like is if you can just be here and feel safe without distracting yourself with Netflix, with social media, with dating apps, with even with eating, with so many different things, right? It's just like, am I at peace with myself, like in this moment? And that's how you can begin to tell that your, you know, nervous system is regulated.
I think too, and I don't recall if we talked about this, or, well, no, we did talk about this before, I love journaling and I love like self-reflective questions. So I think like thinking back on my own experiences in particular, I was living in chronic fight or flight and didn't really know that there was another way to live until I had these little moments where I felt calm. And then when I go back to fight or flight, it's like, oh, that like, that's like a, like, it's like being drunk and then not drunk. So I think a good question to ask yourself is like, what are the moments in your life that you feel calm and who are you around and what are you doing and what are like, what does it actually feel like in your body in those calm moments? And is that how you feel often? Like, how often do you feel like that? And if it's rare, then yeah, you're jacking your nervous system up on fear cocktails all the time.
Yeah. And it's like, that's addicting too. Like literally it's like it's adrenaline. And that's
it's
like, cause it feels like a high, but yeah. It's like, no, it's like literally like fight or flight is supposed to be short and sweet. Mm-hmm. So you can like, why you feel that adrenaline and like you're sweating and like your eyes dilate. So you can literally fight or flight, right? You mm-hmm. can fight something to live or you can run away from it. And it's supposed to be short because if you're constantly living in that overactive state, you are like making yourself sick. You are depleted. Okay. Like your organs are dying. Mm-hmm. You just don't know it because it's like all of those things that are happening, it's in a constant state of stress, which is killing you slowly or quickly, depending.
It's like driving a car and never stopping. You're just always driving. You're going to run out of gas. At some point, you're going to break down.
Yep.
That's just unavoidable. Okay. Well, Ben, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your tips and your advice. It's really nice to like see you and have a conversation with you. It's been a while and I really enjoyed this. Thank you all for joining. Let me just take a look real quick and see if I had any comments. We have some gem emojis. People are liking this conversation. Just checking if there were any like questions or anything that came up.
Cool. But yeah, thank you, Brittany, too. Is like, it's, yeah, this is, you know, conversation that isn't had a lot and we mm-hmm. kind of covered it in different ways, but just to even, you know, bring it all together is like what we basically talked about is like different ways to come back into yourself so you can accept differences.
Yes.
Because which is interesting, right? Is like, we're all so different, but we're actually just all the same.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty humbling to like acknowledge that even though we're different, we're usually afraid of a lot of the same things, which is our vulnerabilities can be very connecting.
Yeah, I mean, we're just all want to be accepted. We want to be loved. We want to feel like we're enough. We want to feel like we belong.
That's it.
We want to feel safe. It's all the same thing. So it's like, and if you feel that within yourself, you can provide that for other people.
And you take it with you wherever you go.
Amen. Preach.
Okay, Ben. Well, thank you for joining today on my live. It's good to see you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate everybody who joined us as well. And we'll holla at you next time.
Thanks, Brittany. Proud of you for jumping
on. Thank you.
Doing your thing. And thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Bye, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.